Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Why don't you jump to your feet right now, church? Like I said before, we have three different preachers about to bring the word tonight. Now, you're going to love this tonight. You're going to love this. So, all three of them are Connect Group leaders, so this is kind of a Connect Group leader takeover night. Tony Rivera is one of the most passionate guys I know. He's going to be up first. He is, him and his wife as volunteers run our kids' church here. He's also our men's director here at C3 South Campus. Looks after all the men. He's a great man. And then next we have Suzanne. She's going to be preaching straight after Tony. Suzanne is pretty involved in this My City thing that we keep talking about with Travis. And then finally, we have Mike Yeager bringing it home. Mike Yeager's been a Connect leader for several years, helps look after our 10 a.m. service, does a lot of stuff around here. Mike is kind of like our excellence coach. Yes, there you go, coach. Excellence coach. He keeps everything excellent here at South Campus. So I'm not going to go in between. I'm just going to let these guys preach one after the other after the other. So I want you to put your hands together and welcome our first preacher tonight. Let's welcome to the stage, Tony Rivera. Come on, somebody.
Come on, South. Hello, hello. Come on, South Campus, 5 p.m. Let's have some fun, South Campus. Let's have some fun. First and foremost, let me learn how to use technology. First time I'm using an iPad, usually it's on napkins. I'll be perfectly honest with you. So we're trying, I know, right? But first and foremost, honor, where honor is always due. Pastor Drew, Pastor Emma, you guys are amazing. Thank you guys so much for everything that you've done and what you're doing. And then my amazing and beautiful wife, Carla. Babe, honestly, it's because of you why I'm even here. So thank you. I love you so very much. All right, well, you guys go ahead, take your seats. Let's have a little bit of fun tonight, guys. Before we get into it, though, I just want to pray really quick. Heavenly Father, it's you. It's always you, Lord God. We give you honor and glory, and I ask right now that you just allow me to be that vessel. Speak through me, use me, open up the hearts of everybody, and let them just be expectant for something amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, so 10 minutes isn't very long, so I got to get into it. What I want to do tonight is I want to break down a scripture. I want to break down a very recognizable scripture. I think probably all of you will know it. But what I want to do is I want to look at it from a different angle. Okay, so how many of us in here, probably pretty much all of us, are bilingual? So we know, right? There you go, show of hands. I love the participation. But when you try to translate something from one language to another, it loses something, right? It doesn't really cross over the right way. Spanish to English, English to Spanish, or any other language in between. And the same goes actually for scripture. So the scripture that I want to go into is Philippians 4:13. And see, when Paul wrote this, he wrote this in the Greek. And we read it, it's not on the screen, but we read it as, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when we translate it back into the Greek, you're going to see that it actually presents itself in a different way. So let's go after this. So let's start with the words, I can do. These words are a translation of the Greek word istuos. And what istuos means is the strength and power of God. But when istuos was used to describe a person, it is saying that they are superior. It's saying that they are a champion and a victor. So the word istuos is describing a person who has the upper hand in every situation, and it's describing a person who prevails in every circumstance. Now let's look at the words all things. These words come from the Greek word panta, the word pan with ta attached to it. The word pan means all-encompassing. It means including everything and excluding nothing. The word ta, that little word, denotes and it's describing even the smallest of things. So when Paul uses the word panta or the words all things, he's proclaiming that he has the upper hand over everything, with nothing excluded, including even the most minute of details. We're getting there, Travis. We're getting there. Now let's look at the word strengthen. In Greek, the word strengthen is the word endunamu. Now follow with me. Here we go. Listen up. Now, endunamu actually comes from a compound of two other words. The word en, and the word dunamis. The word en means into, like pouring water into a cup or depositing something into something else. Now, the second word, dunamis, means power. But more specifically, when you use the word dunamis, you were trying to get across a certain type of power. When you use the word dunamis, you were depicting the power and force of an entire fighting army. So when you use the word endunamu, what it was really trying to illustrate was that the force and power of a whole fighting army was being deposited into something else. So now here's the genius of the Holy Spirit and of the Bible, because when Paul wrote this scripture, he wrote it in something called the present active participle, which is just a real fancy way to say is that he just wasn't writing it, he was declaring it. And when I say he's declaring it, I'm not trying to say that he was just yelling, shouting, and speaking it into thin air. No, Paul was declaring this type of power over him. He was declaring that this type of power was acting in him and through him. See, what Paul's really trying to tell us in this scripture is that deposited into his spirit and at his disposal was the force and power equivalent to an entire fighting army. So now let's look at that scripture again. Let's read this the way we've just learned in the Greek. So Philippians 4:13 now says, I have the strength and power of God operating in me. And it causes me to be superior. It causes me to be a champion and a victor. And this power gives me the upper hand in every situation. This power causes me to prevail in every circumstance. And it is all through Christ who pours into me, who deposits into me the force and power of an entire fighting army. Come on, South Campus, an entire fighting army. See, what you need to understand, though, is that when Paul wrote this, he wasn't at Starbucks sipping on a latte and listening to the sweet, smooth sounds of my favorite, Kenny G. No, when Paul wrote this, he was imprisoned. When Paul wrote this, he was chained up. He was in a cold, dark pit of a place. And see, it's very important to note that because I think that that's something we can all relate to. You know, maybe not in the literal sense, but I think we can all say we've been there probably mentally, emotionally, probably even spiritually. We've all been in a place like that. And I'd venture to say that there's probably some of you out there right now sitting and you're living in a place like that right now. But just like Paul, we need to not surrender. Just like Paul, we need to not submit to any negative circumstance or situation that we may find ourselves in. No. See, church, your circumstance and your situation is going to try to tell you that you're defeated. Your circumstance and your situation will try to tell you that you won't make it through what you're facing. Your circumstance and your situation will try to tell you that you might as well just give up and throw in the towel because there's no hope for you. See, the devil's going to try and use your circumstance. The devil's going to try to use your situation to try to tell you that the reality you may be facing right now is truth. See, the devil's going to try to tell you that the reality is your marriage is in trouble. The devil's going to try to tell you that your illness is your reality. The devil's going to try to tell you that the reality is your situation is hopeless. So feel anxious, feel worried, and be afraid, because these realities are your truth. But church, I got some good news for you. I really do. So start to get excited. Because see, as Christians, reality doesn't determine our truth. See, as Christians, truth determines our reality. And the truth is that there is power in His presence. The truth is that when you seek Him, when you trust in Him, God can and will hold you and your marriage up in His victorious right hand. The truth is that your illness isn't your reality, because by His stripes, you are already healed. So, if your circumstance or your situation has you feeling like you're in prison tonight, if it has you feeling defeated, cold, and alone, let me tell you right now that that is all a lie. Because the truth is, church, is that you have a blood-bought right to take charge over your circumstances. You have a blood-bought right to take charge of your situation. The truth is that you have a blood-bought right to grab the devil by the throat and command him, command your circumstance, and command your situation into subjection. See, the truth is that you have a blood-bought right to release the power of the cross over every circumstance, over every situation, over every storm, over every bad report, over every trial, over every tribulation. The truth is you have the power of the cross. So as I close, church, just let me encourage you. Let me encourage you that rather than being dominated by your situation or your circumstance, rather than be dominated by your mind, your flesh, or any negative emotion, let me encourage you to turn back to Jesus, to turn back to the cross, to turn back to the truth. Because church, you, I, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There we go, church. With 45 seconds to spare. That's impressive for me. All right, guys. Thank you for your time. But now I have the honor and I have the privilege to introduce half of the dynamic duo known as Travis and Suzanne, our My City leader, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Come on, crush it.
Awesome. Isn't Tony just like amazing? He's like a powerhouse. I always feel like I could just kick someone in the face or something. Like, he's just so super passionate. I love it. Thank you, Tony. So first of all, I just want to thank my pastors. I want to thank you for this incredible opportunity to speak on this platform. It's not something that I take lightly, and it's because of your vision and your leadership that I'm able to be up here and speak the way I'm about to speak. So I just want to introduce myself for those of you who don't know me. My name is Suzanne. I am married to the awesome Travis here in the front row. We have a beautiful 11-month-old daughter, and we do get the opportunity to oversee the My City Youth here at South Campus, which is an incredible ministry to be a part of. Yes, awesome. So the title of my message is Dead in the Water, and we're just going to jump right in. Get it? Awesome. So how many great swimmers do we have here? Like, who's like borderline Michael Phelps up in this place? All right, I see a couple of you. Where are my really awful swimmers? Like, you're just really bad. Don't even go near the water. Thank you for your honesty. I love that. Where are those mediocre swimmers? Like, you could doggy paddle to save your life, but you don't really want to swim. Yeah, I'm right there in that boat. Right there. So I'm going to speak to the mediocre and the awful swimmers right now. Isn't it the worst when you dive in and you get a ton of water just up your nose, like all of a sudden? Crazy. So I have a story. When I was 12 years old, that's when I first met my husband, and we met at the local pool. First of all, I curled my hair and wore makeup to impress this kid at a pool. Like, who does that? Second, I thought it would be cool to jump off the diving board to impress my man. All right, I can't swim without plugging my nose, and I'm afraid of heights, so none of this made sense, but I wanted this guy. I was pursuing him, okay? So I jumped off the diving board, which I'm sure wasn't graceful by any means, And I was like, I can't plug my nose because that'll look weird. So I didn't. I jumped in, and all of a sudden I got a rush of water up my nose. And isn't it the worst when you get out and it's like you got snot, you're coughing. Like, it is not attractive. It does not look good. It's awful. It's not fun. But the body does that as a response to keep you alive. It's like, there's something foreign coming in. Get it out. You can't have this here. So what's the alternative? What if there's no bodily response? Like, for example, in Titanic, when Rose so graciously lets Jack just kind of submit to his conditions around him, she wakes up from her little slumber on the door, and all of a sudden he's dead. She lets him go, and he's gone. Because he surrendered to the conditions around him. If water gets into the body, it needs to flow out, or life cannot be sustained. I say all this because I walked through a season in my life, and it was as if all of a sudden words of doubt, insecurity, anxiety, negativity were taking over my world, and it was like a slow leak into my spirit. I was no longer responding to the lies the enemy was pouring into my life. I didn't feel like I had any value or worth in my friendships. I didn't feel like a good enough wife. I didn't feel like I had the ability to be a good mother. And it was like the devil was telling me all of these things, and all of a sudden, anything I spoke was death. It was negativity, insecurity, complaining, defensiveness, doubt. And I could feel myself being weighed down by the pressure, and it was as if I was being submerged underwater without knowing it, and I was drowning. Have you ever been in this place? Have you ever been in this place where your spirit stops responding to the lies of the enemy? Where you submitted to the conditions around you? But let me tell you, friends, that God never intended for us to hold on to the things that the enemy tries to give us. See, he's sneaky like that. He'll come in conniving and slow. It'll be like a slow trickle, a slow leak. He doesn't just hand you the lie all at once. It's one little word. It's one little phrase. And all of a sudden, you're offended, and you're on the defense, and you cast people out, and you put up walls. Because the enemy knows the greatness within you, and he wants to drown that out. In John 7:38, it says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living," say living, "water will flow from," say from, "within them." Rivers of living water will flow from within them. So a natural example of this is in the Sea of Galilee. So waters are flowing in, and it also is sending waters out. So it has this natural flow. So life can flourish. There are fish, there are plants. Life is abundant in this place. But then just to the south of the Sea of Galilee, we have the Dead Sea. It receives its water from the Sea of Galilee, but it has no outflow. So because it's in receiving mode only, life cannot flourish in this place. When we hold on to the lies we've been given, these lies of not feeling worth or value, and they remain stagnant in our spirit, it starts to pull up. And what people start to see in our life will be a reflection of the Dead Sea. They'll see the hurt. They'll see the offense. They'll see the complaining. This is why it's important to get into this word and know what God says about you. So when the enemy tries to shower you with lies, you can take those thoughts captive and submit them back to God. We need to train our spirit to respond. Train our spirit to respond to that foreign thing in your body, because that lie does not belong there. Sometimes just like getting water up your nose, it might not feel the greatest. It might not look attractive, but it's protecting you from death and keeping you near God. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I had friends and leaders with wisdom and discernment that saw my condition. They saw that I was the walking Dead Sea. And they pulled me out of the water. They prayed for me, and I was delivered, and I was revived. It was like I had physically and spiritually been held underwater for so long, and finally I could catch my breath. I felt this pressure and this weight just lifted off of my shoulders. I do have to choose daily to allow godly things to flow into my life and make sure that I'm also releasing anything that does not belong in my spirit. I daily have to train my spirit to declare what God says about me, to protect my spirit from drowning. We cannot hold on to the things that are not from God. We have to release them to God. How can we do that practically? I totally took this verse from Pastor Stacy, and I thank you for your incredible message this morning. Awesome. Philippians 4:8-9 says, summing it up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Put on worship music, pray daily, get into his word, surround yourself with godly people. Thank Jesus that I had friends and leaders that saw my condition and pulled me out of the water. Receive what God has for you and share what God has for you. The more of Christ you give away and share, the more room you'll have for a fresh flow from the Holy Spirit. And when we keep doing this, we're training our spirits to keep our guard up for anything that goes against what God says about us. It will allow our life to be in reflection of who God is. And so our words will reflect that. They'll be encouraging, expectant, powerful, and joyful. And that is good news, my friends. Awesome. So I get the honor of welcoming up my first Connect leader, who has a part in why I'm even up here speaking today, my incredible leader and friend, Dr. Mike Yeager.
Come on, give it up for Suzanne Greeno. The incredible Tony Rivera did so good. She just introduced me as a doctor, but listen, I'm not a real doctor. If there's a medical emergency, please call 911, okay? I have a PhD in engineering, so if somebody has a heart attack, I will be of no help at all. So, hey, I am so honored to be here, to be able to share the stage with these incredible people. And I just want to give it up to our incredible campus pastors, our senior pastors, Pastors Jurgen and Leanne. You know, our church is so awesome because they don't hog the platform for themselves. You know, they want to see leaders in this church be developed. They want to see anointed communicators rise up. They want to see disciple makers grow. And I feel so honored and blessed to be a recipient of that faith and trust, so I appreciate it. So we're going to talk about Christianity. Go figure, you're in church, that's a good thing. And I just want to just sum it up for you, okay? I got about 10 minutes, and I'm going to try to unpack the Christian worldview. Very lofty task for 10 minutes. We're going to do it. So we're going to be reading out of Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn to it. It should be up on the screen. I'm going to read out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. And these two verses, they say it all. This is it. This is the whole message just summed up in these two verses. So start with verse 23, Romans 3, 23 says, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." Who's thankful that there's a verse 24? I am. Amen. Verse 24, "Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." And that's good news, right? So let's kind of break it down a little bit. Let's start in verse 23. So 23 says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So point number one, for those of you taking notes, God has strict admission standards, okay? God has strict admission standards, okay? Now, to illustrate this, think about the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, the most prestigious technical college in the world. When it comes to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, there literally is no greater school than MIT. It's not subjective, that's not an opinion. Everybody knows when it comes to a technical education, MIT is the pinnacle, the ultimate, the best. And they have very strict admission standards. So if you want to get into MIT, follow me here. Here's what's going to happen. You have to apply. That application process, you're going to put together, listen to me, a record of your performance, okay? Now it's your academic performance. So you're going to put together your high school transcripts, all the grades you've gotten through high school. You're going to write an essay about how awesome you think you are. You're going to submit your SAT scores. And this is a record of your performance. And you will be judged based on your performance, and you will either be accepted or rejected, okay? Now, this is how every religion in the world works, okay? You assemble a record of your performance, but this time it's not your academic performance, it's your moral performance, okay? You are judged by God based on that performance record, and you are either accepted or rejected. Now, listen to me. I know this is going to sound blasphemous, but just hang with me. This is true of every religion, including Christianity. In Christianity, you are judged based on your moral performance and are either accepted or rejected by God. God gave us this standard in the Ten Commandments. So God said, look, if you want to be accepted by me, you want to be in my family, you want to walk with me, you want to dwell with me forever in heaven, no big deal. Just live up to these Ten Commandments. Unfortunately, Romans 3:23 tells us that it is impossibly hard, and nobody, not you, not me, not Pastor Juergen, not Billy Graham, not anybody can live up to this standard, okay? So MIT has strict standards. God has much more strict standards. If God had a university, there would be no students. Nobody would get in. Jesus would be the only student, and he knows everything God knows, so it would be the most boring school ever. There'd be nothing to do, okay? So point number one, God has strict admission standards, and you and I have no hope of ever living up to those standards. Pretty exciting message, huh? Okay, I know point one is a little dark. I'm going to be honest, point two is not much better, okay? It's all going to turn around for point three, though, okay? There is good news, amen? So just hang with me through points one and two. So point one, God has strict admission standards. You and I cannot live up to those standards, okay? Point number two, God cannot lower those standards. Okay? He cannot. Now, it seems like on the surface that God's just like a big jerk. Like, why would he say, oh, yeah, sure, you want to be with me? Let me just give you these standards that you have no hope of living up to. That seems very mean. Why would he do that? But that's not it at all, you see. Now, listen, just think about it this way. Let's go back to MIT. What if MIT says, you know what? We're done with admission standards. Everyone's accepted. Come one, come all. We don't care if you're an AB student, A-plus student, straight F student. We want open-door policy, everybody in. If you apply, you will be accepted. Period. I'll tell you what would happen. The value of an MIT education would plummet. It would no longer be the ultimate, the best, the most highly valued technical education, okay? And the same is true of God. You see, God cannot lower his acceptance standards, his admission standards, because it would devalue God himself. And God, by definition, is the most valuable thing in the universe, so he cannot lower his standards. Those two things are mutually incompatible, just logically will not work, okay? So it's not God being a jerk, it's God saying, because of who I am, this is what it takes, okay? So, point number one, God has strict admission standards. You and I have no hope of living up to those admission standards. Point number two, God cannot, for any reason, lower those admission standards. So, let's just pause for a second. That was point one and two. It's a little heavy, a little dark, right? But who's thankful that there's good news? Who's thankful that there's a verse 24 after Romans 3:23? You know, it's just such good news. So just hang with me, okay? It's about to get really good. I was thinking if somebody's podcasting this message and their phone dies, like right now, they're going to be like, man, this Christianity thing is pretty heavy, okay? So, point one, God has strict admission standards. You and I have no hope of living up to those standards. Point number two, God cannot lower those standards for any reason. But point number three, let's go back to MIT, okay? I applied to get into MIT. A lot of you know me, know that I moved to San Diego to get my PhD at UC San Diego. I finished in March, praise God. But I applied to get into MIT, knowing for sure that I was not smart enough, didn't have the grades, wasn't good enough, but the $200 application fee I thought was a small price to pay on the off chance that some secretary in Massachusetts would make a clerical error and I would be admitted by mistake. Now, that didn't happen, and I was rejected, straight up rejected. So listen, don't feel bad for me. My life is good. But what happened to me is they looked at my performance, the record of my academic performance, and said, this guy is not good enough. He is rejected, okay? Now listen to me. Here's where it gets really good. What if there was a super genius math nerd whiz kid out there? And he came to me and he said, Mike, I know you wanted to get into MIT. I know you just weren't quite good enough. Your grades just aren't there. The record of your performance just doesn't meet the standard, okay? And this whiz kid has a 4.0 GPA, A-plus in every single class, got a 1600 on his SATs, has the perfect balance of extracurricular activities. He's like president of the chess club and academic decathlete and whatever nerdy thing you can think of. And what if he says to me, I want you to get in. So I want you to put your name on the top of my transcripts. I want you to put your name on the top of my test scores, and I want you to reapply. Do you know what that would be? That would be fraud. Illegal. The highest level of academic dishonesty. And listen to me, that's the Christian message. That's Christianity. That's why it is so outlandish, so outrageous, so unbelievable. Because point number three, God allows his own identity theft for you, for me. That is the message of Christianity. I'll go ahead and have the band hop up with me. We come to a close. That is the Christian message. You and I have, outside of Jesus, we have no hope. The standards are too high. We cannot do it. And one of my just favorite stories that I think illustrates this so beautifully in the Bible is in Luke 23, I think, as Jesus is dying on the cross, there is a thief next to him, okay? And this thief is, like, don't feel bad for the thief, okay? He's, like, not a good guy. He's on death row for doing bad things. He was tried, convicted, and is being executed for being a very, very bad person, okay? And as he's hanging there next to Jesus, he looks at Jesus and he says, Lord, will you remember me as you enter your kingdom? And Jesus says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And the reason that that story is so compelling to me is not that part, but the rest of it. Because there's nothing happened. The thief dies. Like, he died right then. Like, he didn't have a chance to get down off of the cross, to go do a bunch of good deeds, to redeem himself, to start a connect group, to start tithing. Those are all really great things. But that's not, no number of good deeds, no stacking up of good works buys us anything. The Bible says in Isaiah that our good deeds are just like filthy rags in his throne room. And listen to me, this is the best news. Because I believe that there are people in here this evening and you're exhausted. You're tired of the moral rat race, just the nonstop trying to stack up as many good deeds as you can and then, you know, get your legs swiped out from under you from a bad decision or, you know, whatever it may be. And it's just this perpetual cycle of exhaustion. And you've bought into this lie of performance-based Christianity. And there is no such thing. Those two things are mutually incompatible. Christianity, by definition, is not performance-based. Because the message of Christianity is that Jesus, the super genius math nerd whiz kid, says, listen, put your name on my transcript. Put your name on my perfect test scores and apply for acceptance. And so when God looks at you, when God looks at me, he doesn't see all of the terrible things that I've done, and there are a bunch, okay? I know me better than all of you, and I know that I am so infinitely undeserving. But I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to try to clean up my performance record, because you can't, okay? And are you guys getting this? It's good news. And so I just really believe that there's some people in here and you're just exhausted. And I think that you have ran from God your whole life, not because you don't believe in him or not because, but because you feel like you're not good enough. And I am going to put your mind at ease this evening and I'm going to tell you, you're not. Okay? And neither am I, neither is any pastor at this church, but that's okay. And listen, look right at me. That is the most freeing thing in the world because it means you don't have to try anymore. You don't have to strive to be good. You don't have to, you know, just always be like on your best behavior thinking God's always looking down at you, pointing his finger at you. No, that's not it. God loved you, loved me so infinitely much, couldn't stand the thought of being apart from you, of being apart from me, that he made a way, he created a loophole. This unbelievable, like, it's just so brilliant. C.S. Lewis, like, very famously said that the reason he believes Christianity is because nobody could make all this up. And it's so true. Like, so God has these strict admission standards. You and I have no hope of living up to those standards. And God, by nature of who he is, cannot lower those standards. But God says, I have to be with them. I have to be with my son. I have to be with my daughter. And so he made a way. And listen, I know for all you type A people out there, it just sounds like it can't be true. It's too good to be true. It's too easy. And I'm telling you, it is. And so I'm going to pray for some people. And I'm going to believe that you're going to say yes to Jesus. That's all it is. Okay? The thief that was on that cross spent eternity with Jesus simply because he asked. That's it. He just asked. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask tonight. I'm going to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. So every head bowed and every eye closed, please. So if that's you, and you're in here and you know that you've been just in the moral rat race, just nonstop trying to be good, feeling like God is always angry at you. He's just always mad for some reason, mad at what you thought about, mad about what you did, mad about what you didn't do, whatever it may be. And God is saying, I want to set you free from that tonight, my son. I want to set you free from that tonight, my daughter. And all you have to do is just say yes. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you here this evening, you say, man, that is hitting home. I feel like I have just been running from God, fleeing from him, so ashamed of things I've done, things I've thought. I'm going to just help you say yes to him today. And it's very simple. Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's it. That's the end of the verse. There's nothing else. There's no laundry list of other things you need to do, good deeds you need to stack up, you know, number of churches you need to attend, anything like that. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And I'm going to walk you through that. I'm going to help you say yes to Jesus tonight. So maybe you've never walked with him before. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never invited him to be that substitution for you. Or maybe you did, maybe a long time. Maybe you grew up in church, but you know, from decisions you've made, choices you've made, whatever it may be, you just have felt ashamed and you've, you know, slid away, fell away, backslidden, whatever you want to call it. But you know that he's calling back to you tonight. So if that is you in one of those two categories, either you've never accepted him before, never allowed him to be that substitution, never said yes, or you once knew him but have since slipped away. On the count of three, I want you to just lift your hand up nice and high. Nobody's looking around. This is a very private moment between you and God, but I'm going to lead you through a prayer here in just a bit. And so I want to know who I'm praying with. So if that's you, on the count of three, every head bowed and every eye closed, 1, 2, 3. Hands up. Beautiful. I see your hands. I see your hands. Once I see it, you can go ahead and put it down. Is there anybody else that wants to make that decision, that wants to be set free from the constant moral rat race of trying, of striving? Striving gets you nowhere with God. It is a free gift of God. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Is there anybody else? I need to pray, but I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to respond. I really believe that God is working on hearts, and I really believe that there is at least one more super type A person here that just cannot believe it, cannot buy it, cannot get past the fact that it's that easy, that all I have to do is just raise my hand, and all of a sudden I'll be set free from having to try, from having to please God. And yeah, it really is that true. It really is that easy. Just like that thief on the cross, all you have to do is ask. Is there anybody else that just wants to say yes to Jesus tonight before I pray? Beautiful. I see your hand, young lady. Thank you so much. Are you guys going to take a look at me? Go ahead and hop to your feet if you would. Can we give a big round of applause to those incredibly brave people that raised their hands? So incredible. Hey, listen, so I want to, as promised, I'm going to walk you through a prayer, but I want to do that with you personally, and I can't really get to you guys, so I really want you to come to me. So hang on just 1 second, but, you know, I'm not doing this to single you out or embarrass you, but I'm going to get down off the stage, and I'm going to pray with you. And listen, at a wedding, a bride and a groom stand in front of each other, and they say all these things. They give all these promises. They make all these vows, but then that inward promise, that inward vow is sealed with a physical action. It's sealed with a kiss. So I don't want you to be super brave. Come down here and meet me. I'm going to walk you through this prayer. Come on, we're going to sing this beautiful song. Give it up for them as they come. Big round of applause. Come on, all of heaven is rejoicing. Come on, come on, come on. so brave, so proud of you. Man, you guys are legends, legendary. I want to tell you that today is the first day of the rest of your life. And there's going to be some really just purely magical things that are about to happen that you can't explain. You're going to start seeing the blessing of God all over your life in ways you can't explain, don't know where it's coming from. Even things that you've that have been in your life for a really long time, you're going to start to recognize just the goodness of God in your own life. And things are about to change. So I'm going to walk you through a very, very simple prayer that's just you saying yes to Jesus. And listen, here's the awesome thing about Christianity, okay? Not only do you get God as your Father, but you get a ton of awesome brothers and sisters. And so everybody is going to be saying this prayer with you at the top of their lungs, okay? So you don't feel alone because you are not meant to be alone, okay? So just repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for dying on a cross for my sin. Today I declare that I am your child. You are my Father. Heaven is my home. From this day forward, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Give it up for him. So incredible. Hey, listen, standing behind you are some of the best people in all of our church. We have a gift that we want to give to you, okay? We're going to give you a Bible, and you may say, well, I already have a Bible. Well, maybe it's a different translation that you don't have, or maybe you can have it and give it to somebody else, okay? And we're also going to give you a little book. It's called Following Jesus, and it just kind of unpacks in very simple terms just kind of what the next steps in the Christian journey look like, okay? So if you would, do me a favor, turn to your right, my left, follow this handsome man right there, and they're going to take care of you, all right? Give it up for them as they go. So incredible. Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing. All of heaven is rejoicing. So proud of you guys. So incredible. Oh, man, that's why we do church. Such an incredible thing. Bible says that all of heaven, all of the angels are just going ballistic in heaven right now over those handful of people. And listen, I want to pray for a couple people really quick. I just got a couple minutes, but I just really feel the Holy Spirit working in here. And listen, if we go back to my my analogy, you know, I was rejected by MIT, but if I kind of suppose that what if there was this super genius math whiz kid and he, you know, let me put my name on top of his transcripts, let me put my name on top of his test scores, and I get into MIT, okay? Then that's the message of Jesus. But listen to me, there's still a really big problem, right? Because now I'm going to MIT and I'm still not smart enough, okay? Nothing's changed. I'm in there, okay? But I'm still me. But here's the beautiful thing. This is where the analogy starts to break down a little bit. But there's another super genius math nerd whiz kid called the Holy Spirit, okay? And it's like this super genius math nerd whiz kid goes to you to every single MIT course. While you're listening, he's like whispering the answers. While you're sitting down doing your homework, he's telling you how to do it. And listen, I'm raising my hand for this, but I believe that there are people in here, and you're Christians, you follow God, but man, you feel like I'm at MIT and I don't belong here. This is way too hard, way too advanced. And I think there are people in here that are believers in God, but God has called you into something truly great. That God has been beckoning you to follow him in something new, and it's scary, and you feel like, man, I can't make it. And so if that's you, I want you to be super brave and just raise your hand. I'm not going to make you come forward. I just want to pray for some people. And that's me, okay? My hand is up, okay? And I'm going to pray a special blessing over you. I want to just invite the Holy Spirit into your life, impart the Holy Spirit to you, and you're going to see just a dramatic increase in your faith, a dramatic increase in your capacity. So let's pray. God, I thank you for these beautiful people, for every hand lifted in here, myself included, God. We know that you have called us to greatness, God. Not for us, not so that we can bask in the glory, God, but so that you can get all the glory. So God, you see every hand lifted. You know every story. You know every fear, every insecurity. God, you know that you are calling us out into the deep so that you can do great miracles through us, God. And so I pray over every hand lifted. I just impart the Holy Spirit to fill them, God. They would breathe deep, breathe your spirit in, God, and they would know new levels of capacity. New levels of anointing, God. Maybe it's a new business that you just know you're supposed to start, but it's scary. You don't have the promise of a paycheck. You don't have the security of a paycheck, but God is calling you to it. And so I just release business people right now in Jesus' name. Maybe you know that you're supposed to start serving at church in a capacity that you don't think you can handle. It's too much. You've got too much other stuff going on. And I want to declare that God will be with you, just like Tony Rivera preached. God is your strength. God is your strength. You don't have to do it on your own. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. God, you see these beautiful hands. Bless them, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Let's sing this beautiful song.
Together one more time for our three powerhouse preachers. Come on. I love it. I love that we're part of a church and our senior pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne, are all about raising up people to do what they're called to do. And they're all about raising up and releasing other people to preach the Word of God. And you guys all did exceptionally tonight. It was phenomenal. Loved it. Amazing. We love you, church. Who had a great Sunday? Go take somebody out for dinner. Get in a Connect group if you're not in a Connect group. On the door, we have the buckets if you want to give towards the Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. That's the word I'm looking for. We'd love for you to do that. But we love you, church, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.